This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, Ophira. How's it going? What's new?
We're dog sitting.
Oh. That's exciting.
Yeah. So basically one of our neighbors reached out being like, hey, because they have a puppy named Noisette.
Come on. Very cute.
So they said, would anybody in the building take care of our dog for a few days?
Yeah.
And it was forwarded to me from my husband, even though I also received the email. Does that happen? You
yeah,
both,
sure.
You both get the email, but still will you forward it to each other?
It's a way of highlighting. It's a way of highlighting the email. Yeah.
And so, you know, with exclamation mark and like, can we? Because somehow I am the grand decision maker in this household. So then I don't only have Lucas asking me, but my husband also is like, can we have a...
I promise I'll take care of him.
Exactly. And the first thing I said back was, will you walk the dog? I don't want a dog in here. So Noisette has become part of our life for this week. And Noisette is a puppy. Yeah. Noisette is barely a year old and has puppy energy.
Right.
And, you know, I will say that it is very cute to watch that thing where you have a little five-year-old boy, which I have, and then basically a puppy, and the five-year-old boy throws a tennis ball, and the dog cannot believe this is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And gets to run and get it and bring it back. And they just do that.
I mean, it's a very sweet relationship. We were built to do this. Puppies were built to do that. And little children were built to do that. It's great.
Yeah. So we are temporary dog parents. And it's very nice. Yeah,
I gotta say,
it's very fun. I like it. Slippery slide, right?
Yeah, I know. Before you know it, you'll be a real dog owner.
Maybe. But you know what? We have some people to take care of, Jonathan, you and I. We have a show to take care of. We promised our listeners we got to take care of them to, you know, deliver some games.
That's right. We have responsibilities to deliver walkies and treats to to our many listeners with puppy energy.
They're like, Is it now? Yes. Yes, listeners, it is now. On today's show, he plays a menacing fried chicken restaurant owner on Better Call Saul and a menacing Baby Yoda hunter on The Mandalorian. We have Giancarlo Esposito. Plus, rapper Don Will and comedian Bethany Van Delft will play a game called Is It Broccoli? And first, we'll play games with two people we can thank for the Gene Smart Renaissance. So let's do it. It's time to put another relationship on the line for your entertainment. Lucia Agnello and Paul W. Downs are actors, writers, directors, and a couple. They collaborated on Broad City and Rough Night, and their new HBO Max show, Hacks, follows a legendary comedian played by Gene Smart. Lucia, Paul, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Paul, Lucia, I feel like your relationship and in some ways your creative career all boils down to a UCB class. And by that, I mean Upright Citizens Brigade. Mm-hmm. That's the case.
That is
level one.
Not even UCB proper.
Because UCB grew a lot. So it was at Champion Studios
in Midtown. I think it's 39th and 8th.
Good memory.
And so it was like those places where you can rent a studio and some people are rehearsing opera, some people are going through a scene, there's a dance class maybe.
Exactly.
Exactly that.
Somebody's crying in the other room, you don't know if it's acting or not.
or if it's just part of the Irish step.
Yeah. Yes.
And so what was your interest in taking this class? Was this like, I want to do comedy? Was it something else?
I had done comedy and improv comedy in college. Very cool. Very unique. Mm-hmm. And when I graduated, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to submit myself for parts and audition and do some regular old acting. And then I really missed doing improv. And I was like,
But it was kismet that he waited a couple months, because that's right. when I was there and we met. And
I remember her walking in, because I got there very early, very nervous, very type A. Had to be on a team, was ready to be a marquee show person very soon. And Lucia came like 15 minutes late and she's like, hey, very chill. She's like, what are we doing? Cool. Absolutely no fear. Absolutely full of confidence.
And I think, I don't know if it was in that very first class, but one of the very first classes, Paul did something very funny. And I said to the woman teaching the class, write that down. I told the instructor to write that down because I thought he was so funny and I didn't want to forget it. And I didn't have a pen with me. So I asked her to write it down, I guess, for me.
Again, confidence, confidence and taste.
Unfortunately, treating her like a writer's assistant. But I will say at the end of the class, I was like, oh, I signed up for level 2. And she said, I'm surprised. So I think we're fine. I don't really care.
And now, of course, you have a great new series at HBO Max called Hacks, following a legendary comedian played by Jean Smart, brilliantly. And Jean Smart, right?
I mean, a national treasure, absolute treasure.
Genius, legend. Throw it in a blender. I don't know the full Lady Gaga quote, but there's some Lady Gaga quote.
Throw it in a blender.
Puke it up.
And you know, as much as Gene has worked prolifically and has been a fan favorite in so many things in the past, as fabulous as she is and as I think appreciated as she is, we always felt she was underappreciated and mm-hmm. are so happy she gets to do this leading role where yes. she shows so much of her range.
I do remember this because she was part of Watchmen, yes. and I have a friend that was like, who's that new actress on Watchmen? Like, she must have just, and I was like, oh.
Did you call the cops? You know,
yeah, did you have that person arrested? Yeah.
They had to be quiet for a while. That's
okay, okay,
we have a couple great games for you. Are you ready for your Ask Me Another Challenge?
Yes.
We're nervous.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's going to be all good. So this is an audio quiz. We are going to simply play you a clip of a celebrity doing a voiceover in a television ad.
Mm.
You just have to tell us who it is.
Now, I think we might be really good at this, which probably means we will get none correct. But because
it is like a fun game for him always.
I do like doing this when we're watching him being, you know, when we're hearing like a pharmaceutical ad being like, Felicity Huffman.
Yeah.
Okay. Lucia, this first one is for you. Mm-hmm. If Lego Batman wants you to eat Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, it's probably a very serious and important thing to do.
For those who love peanut butter and those who want to get married to peanut butter.
The unmistakable Will Arnett.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good one. Good.
What an incredible very good. Tenor. I think he actually did voiceover for commercials before he was like a famous actor.
Wow. Oh, is that true? Oh.
I think that's true. I might be wrong. Let me know.
I wish I had that voice.
The Arnett Hive come after me if I'm wrong, but
yeah. I think they will. It's always, I mean, the words he had to say in that is, I think that I would call that a false premise. Like, for those who want to get married to peanut butter, there's no though.
It's interesting that they didn't want to draw people in. They didn't want to make it accessible. It was for those few people who are actually wanting to marry peanut butter. Yeah, it's for chocolate.
The way Reese's Peanut chocolate. Butter Cups has justified their existence in commercials has always, I think, put too much emphasis on how much people love peanut butter. They used to have somebody walking down the street eating chocolate, which, fine, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
And then another person walking down the street eating out of a jar of peanut butter.
Well, guess who loves peanut butter?
I do love peanut butter. I don't know that I would walk down the street doing it now.
No.
But
not now,
hey,
certainly.
In my 20s, potentially.
All right, Paul, this is for you. This actor's turn as Puss in Boots clearly prepared him to play the Nasonex bee.
That glorious season of nasal congestion. Discover Nasonex, mometasone furoate monohydrate, the only prescription nasal spray approved to relieve nasal congestion due to seasonal allergies.
It's Antonio Banderas.
That is correct, yeah.
Look, I'm not trying to, I absolutely love the intro clues. I think I would have gotten it without. Not to be braggadocious,
wow.
But
I bet you would have.
Oh, so you're saying up the challenge? Is that what you're saying?
Let's try.
Is
let's
that
try.
What I'm
let's
hearing?
Up the challenge.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'll play you the clip, Lucia, and then if you need the extra, you let me know. Okay. Here's your next one.
We've long held on to a simple belief. We're a people company. We just happen to fly planes.
Rashida Jones.
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Well done. Yeah.
Really good. I don't know if I would have gotten that one.
So
were you doing a little rope-a-dope really there? It looked like you didn't know it.
I didn't at first. It was only at the end that I got it.
She did get it, though, as you know.
She did get it.
We were all here.
All right, I guess, Paul, here is one for you. I will not read the setup.
Okay.
Just go right into the clip.
There are no pecan chicken salad sandwich wars out there. Nope. This Arby's made-to-order masterpiece can't be topped. Except very literally by Honey Wheat. Arby's, we have the meat.
Oof. It's Ving Rhames? No.
Oh,
Ving Rhames. Yes. That is right.
Yeah,
Ving
right. It. Ving Rhames had the...
Ving Rhames. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's your next one.
Nationwide insurance members who add Vanishing Deductible get $100 off for every year of safe driving. We put members first because we don't have shareholders.
I let Paul take this one.
Absolutely, Julia Roberts.
Yes, absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
You know that. You were so confident from like...
Honestly, she has a very distinct voice to me.
I feel like I am not good at this game. My wife is the one who's always like, oh, that's whoever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it is. And it's the kind of thing where like I can hear the voice and I know that it's somebody,
yep,
but I cannot connect it to a face. I think there's something wrong with my brain.
Mm. No, I mean, there might be a thing with like, you know how people have face blindness?
Mm-hmm.
That may also be a thing for
voice blindness.
I'm voice blind. That's what it
yes
is.
Yeah. I have some face blindness.
Yeah. That's why I enter a restaurant first, so that if there's anyone we know, I can point them out.
That's amazing.
My therapist is like, I will diagnose you. I think it's true. I think you do have face blindness. Because oftentimes I'll go into the wrong therapy room and she has to. She's like, it's real. It's real.
Okay. This is the last clue of the game.
It's the biggest thing that ever happened to small. Lease the GLA 250 SUV for just $399 a month at your local Mercedes-Benz dealer.
Oh, wow. John Hamm.
John Hamm. That's
yes.
Right. Yeah.
A powerful version.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very muscly John.
He's serving Mercedes energy, and I think that's he understood the assignment, as they say.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's swinging a little Mercedes swagger back.
That's right.
We'll play another game with Lucia and Paul after the break, and later from Better Call Saul and The Mandalorian, Giancarlo Esposito will join us, so hide your baby Yodas. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Earlier this year, unsigned musicians from around the country submitted their original songs for the 10th annual Tiny Desk Contest. The panel of judges are hard at work picking standout entries, and you can follow along and choose your favorite videos as well. The winner gets to play their very own Tiny Desk concert, then headline a tour with NPR Music this summer. Want to come along for the ride? Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to learn more, then check out the Venture X card from presenting sponsor Capital One. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with two creators of the HBO Max show, Hacks, Lucia Aniello, and Paul W. Downs. Are you ready for another one?
Please, yes. Hit me.
All right. Okay, so this is a word game. And what we're doing is that we're ruining U.S. capitals by changing the first letter of their names. So your job is to figure out the original city as well as its new name.
For example, if we said, have you heard the chickens are laying eggs all over the capital of Colorado? You'd answer, Denver, more like Henver.
Gotcha.
And I feel as though it's important to be very snarky and sarcastic when you do it.
Okay. Got it. Yep.
That's just how I have it in my head.
I want to just clarify that I wasn't born in America. So
she came to this country without a dollar to her name, without speaking a word of English. So let's all remind.
So if I don't know the state capitals, it's an Italian thing, baby.
Well, you know what? I totally understand. I actually only became an American citizen in early April.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
And I knew them all.
Wow. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Uh-oh. Maybe you needed to know them for the test. I don't know.
You do not.
Okay.
You do not. Okay. Let's give it a shot. You know what, Paul? Let's start with you. Paul, in Wisconsin's capital, people tell corny jokes. They wear socks with sandals, unironically, and answer every question with, go ask your mother.
Wow.
It's a multi-stage puzzle-solving process.
This is hard on a level.
Okay, we're here for you.
So it's Madison, yes?
Yes.
It's Madison. And okay, so we got socks, we got cheese, we got go ask your mother. Okay. So Madison, more like Dadison.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Lucia. Breaking news, voters across Louisiana have elected felines as their state representatives. I hope they like an emotionally withholding government. Meow.
Okay, Baton Rouge, more like Catton, too.
Yeah, you're right.
Catton Touche.
Catton Touche.
I think your listeners are going to be like, Catton Touche.
They're like, oh, she is. English is her second language.
That's great. Okay, Paul, how about this one? Mm-hmm. I have a message for the residents of the capital of Connecticut. Take a Pepto, people. It smells like you only eat beans, cheese, and soy meat. Sorry, not sorry, but you're silent and deadly.
Hartford.
More like Fartford.
Yes. Yes. Good job.
Pretty good.
All right, last one for you, Lucia. The capital of Tennessee used to be known for country music, bachelorette parties, and those weird buses you pedal while getting drunk. But the city's new culture is all about cannabis and potato breakfasts.
Nashville. More like Hashville.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
She's
yes.
got it.
Yum. I love hash.
I do, too.
Well, you did wonderfully on that. Both of them. Fantastic. And again, congratulations. Hacks is streaming on HBO Max. Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, thank you so much for joining us.
What an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having us. It was a complete and utter joy.
Ciao for now.
I can't believe we did well and we stayed together. We stayed together.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, it worked out. In the end, it worked out.
It all worked out.
I love it.
I am so excited for our next two guests. Bethany Van Delft is a comedian who hosts the PBS digital series about the science of parenting called Parental Logic. And she also hosts a podcast for kids about news called The 10 News. Don Will is half of the hip-hop duo Tanya Morgan. Their latest single is called A Whole Mood from their upcoming album, Don and Vaughn. Don Will, Bethany, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hey.
Hi.
So wait a second. So I know you, obviously, Bethany, I know you from many shows, comedy way back. Don Will, I know you from comedy shows in New York.
Yep.
Whole smattering of them. But how do you know each other?
We did a show. I did a show that he was DJing on. And I was deeply in my anxiety. And so I don't know what happened. I think I performed, I'm not sure. And then I went upstairs, everybody went upstairs and had drinks. And while I was gripping my highball glass, just trying to get the drink to shoot into my face so I could feel okay, there was music on in the background. I believe it was Chaka Khan and it was Papillon. And
it
that
was.
Just, it calmed my heart. It calmed me and it, like, Chaka was like, get out of here, anxiety. And I was like, oh, Sean Papillon. And I don't even know if those are the words or not. And then another song came on and another song. It was like the soundtrack of my life. And then I was happy and I was calm. And I looked over, Don Will spinning. He's looking right at me. And I was like, oh, you saw that, Auntie, over in the corner, bouncing, singing the wrong French words to Papillon. And you're like, check this out, Auntie. And I was like, okay, I see you. Thank you. Thank you.
So the DJ side of that story is that usually when we're DJing, we find a person that's really vibing out and we're like, I'm DJing for her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Like, especially if it's just a room full of people casually milling about and, like, there's nobody really paying attention. You just find that person that's, like, into it. So I was like, oh, she likes it. So I was playing, like, that vein of songs. And I say show some Papillon. I don't know what they're saying, but I say show some. I don't even know if Papillon is.
Show some Papillon.
I like that.
But show some butterfly, man.
Show some butterfly.
So after the show ended, we all ended up upstairs in the little thing indoors. And we were just kind of, like, hanging out. And her question did get kind of, like, deep. I don't remember what the question was. But the funny thing about me is that I live for the deep. Like, I'm the person that it's, like, meeting me at a party is kind of weird because I'm like, so what's the most stressful thing about your life right now? Like, I just want to know. There's no, like, conversation with me. So it was just kind of like,
like,
I was like,
meant to be friends.
Yeah, I was like, I see something in her.
I'm like, oh my God, let me tell you. The galaxy is expanding, but no one knows how fast.
And Bethany, you know, we've shared many a stand-up stage, but you also, you host a digital series on PBS about the science of parenting, parental logic.
Mm-hmm. I don't do the science part, but yes.
Yeah, but you're there to, you absorb the science part. As a parent, help me. Is there anything,
No, as a parent, there's nothing you can do. It helps to have a pediatrician friend that you can text. Just keep it all in one text. Don't use texting as punctuation. Yeah, that helps. You have no idea how many times I've texted Alok and been like, oh my God, is this a thing? And then he's chill. He's a guru. He's like, she's going to figure this out. And I'm not going to respond so I don't embarrass her. And then he gives me enough time to figure it out. And then I text him back and go, figured it out. And then he texts right away, I knew you would.
Aww, that's nice at the end. There's no reprimanding. It's just like, good for you. I believe in you. It's just an I believe in you.
You can do this.
Okay. Don, Will, I was just thinking that obviously I haven't seen you on stage for a while, but you have a new album coming out. You've created some content.
I do. The album's titled Don and Vaughn. So it's just... We're the guys behind the rap group named after a fictitious woman. Like, it's kind of like letting the facade down a little.
Okay.
And the first single is called A Whole Mood featuring Jack Davey from J. Davey fame. And yeah, it's just a song talking about discovering what we love and hate about ourselves and deciding, like, you know, everybody's making do and pushing through.
Yes.
That's my little campaign slogan. Making do and pushing through. Vote for Tanya Ward.
That is so good.
Amazing.
All right. Well, let's play some games.
Yes.
So here's how this works. You get to work together in this one. And Jonathan Coleman is going to sing you the clues in the game called Other Aughts.
Yes. This is the latest in our award-eligible series of decade-themed music parodies about history. We rewrote popular songs from the 2000s, a.k.a. the aughts, to make them about things from the aughts of other centuries. So the 1900s, the 1800s, going all the way back to year zero. So to earn full credit, just tell me what I'm singing about, or tell me the song that I'm parodying, or the artist who made it famous. And then for extra credit, there's a bonus point. You can guess what century's aughts the thing comes from.
Oh, okay, okay.
All right, here we go. It's got hammers and strings, Alicia Keys plays it. It's got black and white keys, Billy Joel plays it. It can be grand or upright, Red Charles plays it. Though we couldn't reach the pedals, keyboard cat played it. Meow, 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 meow.
I know what it's about.
All right.
Piano.
A piano, that is correct.
It is Beyonce put a ring on it.
Yeah, Beyonce Single Ladies. That's right. Well done. For a bonus point, can you tell me, when do you think the first piano appeared?
Beethoven was out here playing the piano. So
yeah,
we know the
right?
piano existed in Beethoven.
At least in the
1700s. 1700s. So, I'm very bad with years. 1600s. Let's go with 1600s.
I feel like they started with harpsichord, and then when people were like, ging, 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 ging,
too much
somebody, harpsichord. Yeah, somebody was like, Yo, hang on. How about this? And then it was like, and it was piano.
Someone also was like, we need something to fall on cartoon characters.
Right. Harpsichords aren't heavy enough. Nobody's going to buy it. You're very close. It actually is the 1700s when pianos first arrived on the scene. But your description of the history is correct. There were other keyboard instruments before, the harpsichord, the clavichord, all these other things. And the piano, the thing about the piano was that you could play loudly or softly on it because it has these hammers. And the way the mechanism works, you can hit it softly or loudly. It's called it was called the pianoforte, meaning soft, loud.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it.
My new name is pianoforte.
That's a dope rap name, pianoforte. It really
is. I like it.
All right, here's another one. Tried to start the getaway car, but it won't go. I should have fled, but my phone is dead. Oh, no. Electricity, lack of it is screwing me. Without this little power source now, my life is gonna blow.
Okay, it's about a phone charger.
That's actually a good guess. We're actually looking for a battery. I'll give it to you because that basically we're onto the power thing. But battery is what we're looking for.
And it is Amy Winehouse.
That's right, Amy Winehouse Rehab.
A jam.
It is absolutely a jam. For a bonus point, can you tell me in which century's aughts did Alessandro Volta invent the first true battery?
1800s?
Oh, that's right.
Nice.
In the aughts of the 1800s, that's right. It was known as the Voltaic Pile, which is another fantastic rap name.
The Voltaic Pile. That's the name of the album.
I feel like that's a punk band.
Yeah,
don't you think? Voltaic Pile. Maybe hardcore.
So Alessandro Volta, so Volts are named after Volta?
Amazing. That's right.
That's how you do that. You gotta get famous first.
You gotta invent a thing.
I can't wait for Ophies. What are Ophies gonna be?
Measurements of fatigue. There you go.
How are you doing today? I'm all right. I mean, I feel like 11 or 8 Ophies.
That sounds perfect.
11 or 8. I can't even say numbers in order.
11 or 8 is excellent.
My mouth said that without my permission.
That means you are actually at 2 Ophies.
That's right. You're at about 2 or 3
You're
Ophies.
Overestimating your Ophies.
All right, here's another one. I use you when I need to emphasize titles of books, films, and albums. You kind of look like cursive to my eyes. Push the font to the right. Don't you know that you're slanted?
I know it.
Let's do it together.
Okay, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Italics.
Italics is correct. That's right.
Yes.
And the song? Did you recognize the song?
I did recognize the song. Did you, Bethany?
I sure did.
On the count of three, let's do it again. Artist and
okay,
song.
Okay, let's do it.
1, 2, 3. Britney Spears. Toxic.
Yes! That was good.
And for a bonus point, can you tell me in what century's aughts were italics first used?
I want to go with, I'm going to get specific, late 1700s, early 1800s.
Ooh.
Very specific, but incorrect. Much earlier, in fact.
Oh. I like all the detail, but here's the truth.
It was in the 1500s, in the aughts of the 1500s. According to Britannica, italics were first invented by a printer in Venice who wanted to emulate the look of informal handwriting.
Hmm. Wow. 1500s?
Okay. Yeah.
They were out 1500s. Here fonting in 1500s?
Out here in these streets, fonting it up.
That's crazy. I thought it was just.
They were like, it's going to be called Leany. And Italo was like, no, it's Italo. I'm Italo. I made it up. This is called italics.
All right, here's another one. Mass is like energy's true brother. They can change into each other. Square the light speed and you'll be finer. In this equation from Einsteiner, Ein, from Albert Einsteiner, Steiner, Ein.
That's Riri.
Yes.
Rihanna.
It is Riri, that's right.
Rihanna.
The song
Umbrella.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I was singing about?
I want to say energy.
It is, actually. It is Einstein's
theory.
Einstein's equation, energy equals E equals.
MC squared.
MC squared, that's right. The theory of special relativity.
And just so you know, if you would have said general relativity, we would have said no.
I thought you knew that. Totally different theory.
Yeah, that's 10 years later.
Yeah, that's just who your cousins and aunts and uncles are. Like, that's general relativity.
If she's older than that, and she's known your mother more than 30 years, she is not.
That's right.
True indeed.
Yeah, that's the rule. For a bonus point, in what century's aughts did Albert Einstein first publish The Theory of Special Relativity? 1900s, that's right. Exact year was 1905.
Just like yesterday.
All right. All right, this is the last one. It's me at the zoo, or Charlie biting someone's finger. Just upload and watch, yeah. Thanks to you, we all saw Will It Blend. Got rickrolled.
You got a guess?
Yes.
Go.
Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone. Oh, I'm sorry. You first.
No, that's good. You're right, Kelly Clarkson. Since You've Been Gone.
Yeah, because I didn't know the song at all, so thank you. Like,
Teamwork.
I could hear it, but I couldn't place it. But I think it's about YouTube.
It is about YouTube. Yeah, that is correct.
When you said Charlie biting the finger, that was when I lost it. I lost it.
Right. You were brought back to that moment of watching that.
Yeah, I think about that video at least once a week and laugh.
For a bonus point, in what century's aughts was the first YouTube video Me at the Zoo uploaded?
I feel like it was 2000s.
Yeah, it was the 2000s.
That is correct.
Well done. I know. It was like for a brief second, you're like, but was it?
Oh, God, was it 1900s?
More with Bethany and Don Will after the break, plus from Better Call Saul and The Mandalorian, I'll talk to TV bad guy Giancarlo Esposito. This interview will blow you away. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, the automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares how Betterment's innovation can help Americans save.
The real innovation for Betterment about a decade ago was taking a set of tools that were used by the ultra wealthy and making them accessible to the average investor. And that includes tax strategies, that includes dollar cost averaging, that includes taking a long-term view and not getting distracted by market volatility. These are all sort of tricks of the trade. And what Betterment did is they basically said, no matter the amount of money you have, it's always good to be invested. It's always good to start early. It's always good to save. And the power of being consistent in your habits is really the path to long-term wealth.
Learn more about automated investing and saving at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with comedian Bethany Van Delft and Don Will from the hip-hop duo Tanya Morgan. Are you ready for another one?
Yes.
I am.
All right. So also when we talked to you before the show, you told us a little bit about what you're interested in. Don Will, you told us that you're interested in gardening.
I am.
And Bethany, you told us that you're interested in the culinary arts. Mm-hmm. So we have a great game for you. In your supermarket's produce section, there are a lot of plants that look very different, but are actually the exact same species. Brassica aloracea. In other words, what we're trying to say is that a whole bunch of vegetables are all just secretly broccoli.
This is like when I found out cucumbers were fruit.
So we have a game for you called Is It Broccoli? And this is how this is going to work. We're gonna name a piece of produce. All you have to do is tell us if it is a cultivation of Brassica aloracea, i.e. it is broccoli, or if it's actually an entirely different plant species, i.e. it is not broccoli. And listeners, if you have any complaints about this game and the way we're talking about the taxonomy of vegetables, please send any complaints to shortwave@npr.org.
Okay. Don Will, this first one is for you. Cauliflower. Is it broccoli?
So, I want to say yes because it looks so much like broccoli. But I know this is a yes or no thing. But is that what makes it not broccoli? Is it like the ghost of broccoli? Is it kind of like... Is it like destined
to... It's like the ghost of broccoli. Yeah. Why don't they market that?
Ghost of broccoli.
Spooky broccoli.
We have Broccoli Rob and Spooky Broccoli. I'm going to go with Spooky Broccoli. It is broccoli, in my opinion. I think it's broccoli.
It is. Yes, you are right. Absolutely, it is broccoli.
Do you know what I wish was better? I just made a roasted cauliflower head. You know where you cook the whole...
Yeah.
I wish it was better, because it looks good. And then I ate it, and I was like, this is okay, but... Ultimately, it's just cauliflower. It was a little disappointing.
Can I give you a tip?
Yeah, please.
Oil it up good with olive oil. Salt it more than you think is okay.
Uh-huh.
And put it upside down on a sheet pan at 425 for 20 minutes. Don't touch it.
Upside down. Head down, you're saying.
Yes. Because the little it will caramelize. It'll burn a little bit. It'll caramelize a little bit. And then it's still not going to be exactly what you want to eat. But it's very, very good.
It's getting closer.
It's very good.
All right. Okay, Bethany.
Yes.
Collard greens. Are they broccoli?
I think that this is tricky. And I think broccoli does have leaves. Like all we ever see is the head with the florets, right? But are leaves underneath.
Yes.
What if somebody cut those leaves off and stewed them for a long time? Would they be collard greens? Maybe. So I'll say yes.
You are correct. Collards and kale, also the same species. All three, the same species.
Okay, I'm done. Goodbye. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're great. You're doing great. All right, Don Will, asparagus. Is it broccoli?
It is not broccoli.
Yes.
Good response.
That's right. Yeah, it's not broccoli. No.
All right, Bethany, chives. Are chives broccoli?
No, chives are not. They're the onion family, correct?
Yeah, you're correct. Okay. They're in the allium family along with onions, garlic, leek, and scallions. Also daffodils related to those things.
Yeah.
Oh.
But don't eat them because they're poisonous.
Ooh.
All right, Don, well, Brussels sprouts. Is it broccoli?
Yes. No. Yes?
Oh.
I don't know. I'm so confused. Like, I've broken my brain. I'm going to go final answer. Yes.
Yes, they are. They are. Brussels sprouts are broccoli. Do you like Brussels sprouts? Do you both like Brussels sprouts or not like them?
I like them oiled and salted.
Yes. Way too much salt.
Yes. And deep fried. Oh, my gosh.
Those are good. All right, Bethany, this is the last question in this game. Kohlrabi. Which is German for cabbage turnip. I don't know if you... I could not picture one in my mind.
I call Robbie all the time, but he don't ever call me back.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Nice. Nice.
I think that it is.
It is. You are correct.
Yeah.
All cabbages, in fact, belong to the Brassica family.
I did not know that, but it makes sense.
Didn't.
So I'd just like to point out in that game, every single question was answered perfectly. I just wanted to point that out. Well
Nerd
done.
Alert! Woo!
You both did great again. Thank you so much. Bethany Van Delft is a comedian and she hosts a PBS digital series about the science of parenting called Parental Logic. She also hosts a news podcast for kids called The 10 News. Don Will is half of the hip-hop duo Tanya Morgan and their latest single is called A Whole Mood from their upcoming album Dawn and Vaughn. Don Will, Bethany, thank you so much.
Yay, thank you for having us.
Yes,
this is
thank
so much
you.
Fun.
Had a great time.
It's time to welcome our special guest. He plays drug king Gus Fring in Breaking Bad and its prequel, Better Call Saul. And he currently stars in a ton of other shows, including Amazon's The Boys and Disney Plus's Star Wars show, The Mandalorian. Giancarlo Esposito, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Pleasure to be here. I'm so happy to be with you and all of your fans on Ask Me Another.
Yes. Giancarlo, I understand that you are zooming in from New Mexico, somewhere in New Mexico, because you are on set. You're on location.
I'm on location on Better Call Saul, the final sixth and fantastic season that we're shooting.
Yes. And how is it in New Mexico?
You know, it's a beautiful day. We've had a couple of very beautiful days. This is a very monsoon kind of type of year.
Okay.
Season. It's coming a little early, so we get some rain dropping down from the mountains, but it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Is that affecting shooting, or are you all inside anyways?
You know, by August, at 3 in the afternoon, it pours rain no matter where you are in Albuquerque.
Right.
And it does it for about an hour and goes away. So it hasn't affected us yet, but it will. We're ready for it.
So, you know, before we have a celebrity on our show, we try to do some research as to, you know, what they are into outside of, obviously, their career. And am I right in saying, you get to tell me if this is correct, we read on TVGuide.com that you play the saxophone. Is that correct?
I'm a student of the saxophone.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I can probably play a few bars of Summertime, maybe get through the whole piece. A tune that my mother sang years ago when she was an up-and-coming artist and singer. So I do love musical instruments. But the saxophone is one of my favorites. I haven't mastered it, sadly, but I do love to play.
How long have you been playing?
I've been playing around with it for about 10 years.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All right. And are you learning to improvise and solo over chords and that sort of thing?
Well, so I started improvising on the jazz piano years ago. It's a music that I love because it held a lot of self-expression that wasn't defined by, you know, a title, mm-hmm. like bebop or classical music or a certain cool jazz. It was really coming from someone's improvisational skill, but soul, more of a soulful expression to me.
Yeah, and so you've got the jazz in your head. You just need to get it under your fingers for the saxophone, right? That's the challenge, right?
That's correct. It's, you know, matching the fingers and the breath. And so I do some yoga, which helps to understand the breath. And I'm always curious about a cat, Rahsaan Roland Kirk, who could play two saxophones at a time. And I can't even play one. So,
and then am I also right in saying that you make your own hats?
Well, I have a hand in designing some of the hats that I wear. I have a long history of love for hats and love for hat makers because I just feel like it's a skill that's been lost.
I worked for a milliner right out after college. I got a job at a hat store, and she was also a milliner. And her theory was, hey, everyone has a head. You can sell hats.
That's true.
To
everyone does have a head.
So, yeah. And she was very into just reshaping hats. She would take people's, like, you know, any kind of felt hat people had, and they said, it doesn't fit right. And she would go through a whole process of reshaping it for them.
Well, it's something you start to have knowledge about if you have interest, like anything else in life. And I have interest in so many things. But then when I first learned that I wasn't a round oval, but I was a long oval, it changed the game.
Changed everything.
Now, I should have known, looking at my profile, I got a football head. You know, that's... Yeah, Jonathan's laughing. Yeah.
You know, obviously, we just mentioned that you are working on the sixth and final season of Better Call Saul. And just to give context, this show is a prequel to Breaking Bad. You play Gus Fring on both the shows, and Gus is a drug kingpin who owns and operates a chain of very respectable fried chicken restaurants. But that you were reluctant to bring Gus back for Better Call Saul. Why was that?
I was resistant to Breaking Bad because I read a story about these two young Utah boys who were, you know, peddling religion and went down and turned out and got turned out and then were peddling meth. And I went, oh, man, do I want to be within this story that tells it as it is truthfully? But do I want to be the guy who's producing the product that's corrupting people? And so I knew way back 10 years ago with Breaking Bad that I had to be aware and responsible for that if I took that part. I said, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be the stereotypical dude who's the bad guy selling the drugs. I want to be a guy who has other deeper reasons for pursuing the road that he's pursuing. So then coming back to Saul, it was like, oh, shoot, I did that. Like, what else is there to do?
Right. Right. You had closure with it to a certain extent.
To part of me, like part of me still wanted to explore the world of Gus. There was six years or so earlier than Breaking right. Bad. And I thought the opportunity to make bookends intrigued me.
Yeah.
In television.
Right, right.
Yeah. And you play another bad guy on the Star Wars series The Mandalorian, Moff Gideon. He's chasing Baby Yoda, a.k.a. the Child or Grogu.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, as someone who's watched it, I'm aware that that is a puppet that you are playing against.
I have to say, it's hard to keep that awareness once you meet Grogu.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking at you know, something that looks so very real, and it's looking at you, begging you to love it and pay attention to it. It's as simple as that. And how do you do that? And once someone starts to manipulate the baby, it becomes even more adorable.
Yeah.
So we had that initial meeting and shook its little hand and petted its little furry big ears and realized that you have to honor this. This is the goal, the child. So even Moff Gideon has to come to it with reverence.
So, and you know, I was thinking, so that is, as you describe that, I am also just thinking of a parallel that one of your first roles in your 20s was on Sesame Street. You were part of four episodes of Sesame Street in the early 80s, and you played Big Bird's camp counselor, Mickey.
I sure did. I love my time on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
I love education. I love learning. And so I knew Sesame Street was going to be a gig that was going to be very special.
So we love Sesame Street here, too. And so we have a game for you about Sesame Street. Are you ready for your Ask Me Another challenge?
Absolutely.
Okay. We know that a lot of famous people like yourself have appeared on the show. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play you an audio clip of a famous person on Sesame Street, and you just have to tell us who you're hearing. Here we go.
Okay.
So this person has been on Sesame Street many, many times to promote healthy eating.
What are you doing here on Sesame Street?
I'm about to have this nice, healthy breakfast.
Hmm. Breakfast, you say?
Yeah, breakfast, you know, the very first meal of the day.
Michelle Obama!
Yes, Michelle Obama! Yeah.
Love it.
Only Grover could start a conversation with Michelle Obama and say, what are you doing here? Like, only... there's certain things that Muppets can do that obviously people cannot.
All right, in this clip, Snuffleupagus is starring in a movie called The Summer of Snuffy, directed by somebody that you have worked with.
Please act sad. You're killing me.
Okay, I'll pretend.
You're killing me. Yeah. Spike Lee.
Got it. Can we do this?
Yes, we can.
You know, oh my goodness. Now I've got to call him. I didn't know he even did that. You surprised me. I love it.
And he sounds intense. I mean, it's...
He really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so before he voiced Darth Vader and Mufasa, this guy was the very first guest ever to appear on Sesame Street.
A, B, C, D.
Come on.
E.
James Earl Jones.
Yes! Talk about someone's voice that you could listen
I know,
to.
Oh, no.
How do you ever?
Jeez.
You know, so it's you can listen to forever. I know he's read the Bible and everything else, and he's just one of my heroes and champions. Wow.
All right. This musician entertained Oscar the Grouch with the song Nasty Dan.
Now, Nasty Dan was a nasty man the whole day long.
Good for
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, that's right.
Man in Black. Yes.
Yeah. It was from the 1970s. That was from Cash's 1975 children's album that he made, actually.
Wow. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I'm such a Johnny Cash fan.
I didn't know he had a kid's album. I got to check it out.
All right. And this is the final one. This musician performed a cover of Ernie's Ode to His Favorite Bath Toy.
Rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath
time, lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
I can see his face, and I can't come up with his name.
What if I
wait, I want a clue.
Okay, what if I said Tutti Frutti?
Yeah, that's the dude. Yeah, you're not helping me here.
All right, what if I said...
Little Richard.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Little Richard.
Yes.
You got it. It was in there.
So I'm seeing his body.
Yeah.
You know? That's, and I kept, and the hair. And so I was trying to go like, oh! You know,
okay.
Because he was so long and his body kind of curled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. You got me being silly now.
You did it. You got them all correct. You know your Sesame Street superstars, which, of course, you are one of them. So,
thank you. Thank you so very much.
Giancarlo Esposito currently stars in the Disney Plus Star Wars series, The Mandalorian. Season 2 is available now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our games were written by our staff, along with Emily Winter and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Nancy Seychow, James Farber, and Ramel Wood, with Gianna Capodona and our intern, Zach St. Clair. Our senior producer is Travis Larchuk. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. It's the end of the podcast, but you know, Ask Me Another never sleeps. Follow us at NPR Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And why not give us a review on Apple Podcasts? It helps other people find the show. Thanks. Next time on Ask Me Another, from Orange is the New Black and HBO's In Treatment, Uzo Aduba returns to play a game against Jonathan Colton. Plus, writers and comedians Quinta Brunson and Taylor Guerin compete in a game about TikTok. Yes, TikTok. We know about Gen Z stuff. So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
In this country, some truths aren't self-evident. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as wide-ranging and real as the people who tell them, we celebrate the Black experience for all its soul and richness. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.